Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
Tonight, the case of some MPP flag bearer hopefuls forcefully rejecting proposals by party's Council of Elders to place their presidential ambitions on hold in the larger interest of the party, following fears that a large number of aspirants may split the MPP.
So we've impressed upon them the need of what we call negotiation in political strategy, and that if the strategy demands that some people must do this, I think in the interest of the party and for its unity, it will not be out of place.
Some aspirants are tonight speaking out, shooting down the proposal.
We don't know. From 2015 till now, a lot has changed at the grassroots of the party. If that suggestion do come up, my advice would be that they should just let everybody go through super delegates.
This is Top Story with Evans Mensah.
And Top Story is always brought to you by Vodafone. Tonight, with the field of MPP flagbearer aspirants growing by the day, 10 at the last count, the party's Council of Elders is alarmed the number of contestants in the presidential primaries may split the MPP. Now, they have begun moves to get some of the aspirants to back down. Tonight, there is a forceful rejection of the overtures by some of the aspirants, 10 individuals, including Vice President Dr. Mahmood Bawumia and former Trades Minister Alan Chemanting, have all picked nomination forms. We'll hear from the party's chairman of its Council of Elders, Hackman Owusu Ajiman, pretty shortly, by my colleague Samuel Mbura, who has been monitoring the nomination process within the MPP, joins us on the telephone line right now. And Samuel, all week since the nominations were open, you've been covering this. 10 of them have picked the form so far. Who are these?
Evans, I'm going to mention their names in order in which they picked the nomination forms. The first person who picked the form was Bwache Ejiakor, who is a former energy minister. He was followed by Kobina Ejiapon, the former general secretary of the MPP. The third person was Francis Adainimo. He's a former MP for Mamba.
Yeah. In 2017, he didn't do much good. Mm-hmm. And after that, we were not also able, then some of the people who felt they lost did not contribute fully to their campaign. And that is why we are engaging these people now to understand that competition is the name of the game in democracy. But when the results are known and we know who the person is, then all of us have to rally around their candidate and push him forward. And that we have been impressing upon them. So it's not too early, and I believe that it's going down well. Then so far what we've done has been very interesting, getting to know some of them, and some of the programs they have up their sleeves are also very exciting.
Okay.
So that's what we are doing, sir.
Any possibility you'd advise some of them to probably reconsider stepping down and then, trying to do it another time?
Yes, sir. We've impressed upon them need of what we call negotiation in political strategy, and if the strategy demands that some people must do this, I think in the interest of the party and for its unity, it will not be out of place. But quite obviously, so far, everybody wants to stand. But I think that even after the Electoral College, we keep talking as a fraternity, and we should be able then to understand ourselves. But if it doesn't work, so be it. We will go for the election and eventually find who the winner is. For my personal view, I think that if we can look at the issue of getting a consensus candidate, it will help us tremendously. But of course, in democracy, nothing is perfect, and everybody has his rights. And so what we have to ensure is that we have a free, fair, and transparent elections without any intimidation, without anybody feeling that he's intimidated. And when we do that, we think we'll be able to eventually get everybody on board. Of course, there's the undertaking they will have to undertake in the documentation that they have to submit to us, to the elections committee. We're telling them where they are undertaking to do everything within the rules, within the boundaries of the rules of the game, and also make sure that they don't, it's devoid of insults and everything, the decorum in the whole process.
You have an idea who that consensus candidate could be?
No, sir. I can't. At this moment, I can't. But I think the way I see it, honestly, it will be difficult to get a consensus candidate, because everybody comes in and everybody thinks that he is winning. I think this is the duty of democracy. Everybody thinks he wins. Even if they get a 0.001%, they come in before the election, they think they win. So it will be very difficult. And I cannot hazard a guess at all as to who the consensus candidate will be. But I think if it does happen, then it will be lying in the bosom of the party, some of them, to look at it. But it's very difficult. So I think it's becoming chasing some stars, which we might not get. But I wish we could get a consensus candidate, and then we would have had it that way.
This is on a lighter note. When you were also contesting at the time, did you feel that you were going to win?
Yes, I mean, that's why it's a John of blessed memory, rest in peace, said, "Fear delegates." They give you the impression that you are the one and the only one who are going to win, and then at the end of the day, it turns out to be something else.
Okay.
I think it's a matter of popularity, really, and also of competence. I mean, the two fused together. And I believe that I thought I would win, but as it turned out to be, that was not to be. But as I said, in democracy, some win, some lose. And then I think that the record of this government would play, and then we should better. Agenda 2024 should see the NPP winning more seats. And what we did wrong, we are going to do right this time. If we don't learn from lessons of history, because we dropped from 169 to 137, it was traumatic.
And that, by the way, is the chairman of the MPP Council of Elders, Hackman Owusu-Ajiman. And I want to bring in one of the aspirants who picked forms this week to contest in this presidential primaries. He is in the person of Kojo Poku. You know him, he's an energy analyst as well. Mr. Poku, thanks for your time here on Top Story.
Hi, good evening, Evans. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, sir. And you heard your chairman of the Council of Elders say it is your wish that you will have a consensus candidate and that they are reaching out to meet all of you. And they'll be pressing on you to give you the thought in terms of, you know, looking at the bigger interests of the party. And it draws on the experience of 2007. Tell me what you make of his sentiments there.
Well, Mr. Hackman Owusu-Ajiman is a very experienced politician. He himself has been part of this process, and he understands that everybody has the vigor that what they are about is the best. But for me, when you talk of a consensus candidate at this stage, it's too early, because the party, for me, is such that I think the grassroots and the big men at the top, there is a big gap in the alignment. If you talk to the big men at the top, what they want, and you talk to the grassroots, what they want, there's a big gap. And if you are to sit with the big men and discuss what they think a consensus, and then you ask, the interviewer asks him, who does he think the consensus candidate is going to be? If all the room today, there are clear individuals that stand out, and people think that they are the ones that should be a consensus candidate. But that is based on 2016, 2017 thinking. Because the last time we did any sort of that sort of polls was in 2016 that brought his in an adult. Since then, we've not done any such competition. So for me, I think that they should allow everybody to go through the superdelegate. The superdelegate would give us a packing order, allow us to test the strength of the 10, then how they emerge now inform what the packing order for this election is going to be.
Yeah, but his concern is 10 of you, at least you have still now till 24th. People, who knows? There may be others.
Yeah, but the point, is that none of them, as he clearly said, none of them. I know five candidates that strongly believe that they will win. I know five who strongly believe they will win.
So there are five.
And I know other
five. Who
sorry, then, there are then, 10 of them. But yeah. I'm just saying that I know five.
So who are picking up on that? If five strongly believe they will win, then there are five who I'm not sure of their chances. So why don't they simply give in for the other five to go?
Say that again.
Say if there are five who strongly believe they will win, just to qualify that with your own phrase, then maybe the additional five believe maybe they don't have their chances not as bright. Why don't they just...
No, but hold on. That's not the point. The point is, when you talk about a consensus candidate, it means that everybody should drop off and just back one person. And I'm just giving you an example that I know five of them that beyond 100% that they will win. One of them is... Okay, I've always said that I'm 120% sure that I'll win. Okay, and I'm sure Dr. Allen that Baumiat feels he'll 100% win, 120% win. Allen, Kennedy, and Jacko Friakuto. So, which of these are you gonna ask to back down and back one? So the point is, let's go through the superdelegate. The superdelegate will give us a little bit of popularity among the seniors of the party. It's not a representation of that person's popularity within the ground. But bear in mind, that superdelegate is only 900 people. The general election in November, which is the big one, is 230,000 delegates. So, but it will give us a litmus test, because everybody has gone around to each region, all 16 regions, to introduce their message to the regional the constituency chairman, and they would vote for who they think that is the most suitable. Let's go through the superdelegate on August 26th and see the packing order.
Yeah.
And that will give us a litmus test of who we think. If that vision of backing one person comes up, then we will now be able to have it clearly at that point.
It's too early
now to do that.
Many will listen to you and say, but Kojo Poku, you really don't stand a chance. And you are a massive underdog. What do you say to that?
People who don't vote are the ones saying, I don't stand a chance. I just came back from Techiman. And the meeting I had in Techiman was beautiful and encouraging. If anybody tells me I don't stand a chance, I'm like, fine, let's leave it. Those some of the conversations that makes me, Kojo Poku, will never back down. Because if I now come up, and people said I couldn't pick a four. Now the next conversation, he can't get 120, like he can't get 160 people to endorse his form. Now, people who submit my form with the 160 duly completed, which is duly endorsed, okay, I'll go through the process. Yes. He won't get anywhere. Then we will now, because you see, everything is impossible until it happens. People look at me and they underestimate the person, Kojupoku, but that's fine. That is the very reason why I will never back down. So let's not go on that conversation that people think. What people, journalists, the public, are not voters in this process. The delegates are, and I know what they are telling me.
Let me ask you, Hackman Osu-Ajiman says the Council of Elders will be meeting. In fact, the meeting, he says, was scheduled for today. Have they reached out to you yet?
Yes, I got a call on Friday, but when they called, I was on my way out of Accra to pick the government to Pechiman. So I told them that next week I'm available. If they want to meet, I'm more than happy to meet them.
Okay, and they've also indicated that you signed the undertaking and you intend to keep to it.
I have not signed any undertaking yet. If there's an undertaking, I will sign if I get to it. I mean, I don't do, even as you've known me for quite a while, I don't do any such politics. I believe that politics about ideas. To make this election about election of ideas, so it's a competition of ideas, personalities. When it becomes a personality contest, it becomes a problem.
When you finally sit down with the Council of Elders, I get the sense that if, as Hackman Osu-Ajiman suggests, that they attempted to try and negotiate this, I guess, exit for others to go through, I get the sense that you'll be emphatic no if that is suggested to you.
Like I already explained, for me at this stage is a no. I would definitely want everybody to go through the super delegate. Like I said earlier, it will also be a litmus test for everybody to know the packing order that we have. Look, I do my message, not me. Like I said, it doesn't have to be a personality contest. It's an idea, it's a contest of ideas. I believe that my ideas are more superior than a lot of people's ideas. They might be popular, they might be known, they might have a big, like, call a cuckoo dam and all those things. But they don't have a message. I do. And I think that my message is more better and better received than the delegates, than their message is received. So based on the ideas, I think that I stand a much better chance than most of them that people think I have. But let's put it to the test. That's why I call it a litmus test. Let's at least put it to the test on the 26th of August and see whether I'm wrong or right.
Thank you very much, Kojupoku. He's aspiring to lead the NPP into the 2024 elections. Another aspirant is former Attorney General Joe Gatti. And we can now speak to Adam Abdul Majid, who is a special aide to Mr. Gatti and joins us right now on the telephone line. Hi, Majid. Thanks for your time here on Top Story.
Good evening, Evans.
Has Mr. Gatti received the invitation from the Council of Elders yet?
He hasn't confirmed that to me yet.
Mm. And Hackman Osu-Ajiman's take on this, that if the party should stand united, it is better to have a few go through, at least even mentions the possibility of a consensus candidate. Joe Gatti doesn't stand a chance, many have suggested. Will he consider this move to just step down for the others?
Thank you very much, Evans. Consensus building at this point will be very difficult. On what parameters are you going to build on that consensus? Is it going to be based on academic qualification? Is it going to be based on competence? Is it going to be based on how popular you are within the party? It is going to be very difficult. For among the candidates contesting, the 10 people who have picked nomination forms, I think Dugatti stands tall among them. He has been, over 2 decades, he has been as a member of parliament. He has been an attorney general, a deputy speaker of parliament, a minister for railways development. Among the candidates, when you assess them, a renowned lawyer, an astute lawyer by all standards, we all saw his footprint when he was at the attorney general and minister for justice. We saw his footprint when he went to Ministry of Railways. There's none like him. He is coming to serve the grassroots. He understands the party's tradition. He has served. You remember in 2014, he was part of those who contested. He made way into the first five. After the Superdelegates Conference, he made way. He was third. Yet he considered that, indeed, the current president, Nanadu Danko Akufo-Addo, has paid his dues, and it was a time for us to let him go. He accepted and said, Nana, I'm throwing my way to you. Nana don't went. It is time for Dogati to take over. Breaking the eight is not difficult. With NDC, MPP will be able to break the eight. But which driver is going to drive us through that successful journey? We need a paradigm shift. We need a leader who is focused, a leader who understands the tradition of the party, a competent one, of course, and Dogati sounds tall.
Yeah, I mean, the last
Evans,
time... The
you've
last
known Dogati for years.
Yeah, I have. I mean, I was talking to him when he was a...
What negativity can you use to associate with Dogati?
Well, it doesn't come down to that, does it? It comes down to your popularity within the party among delegates. The last time he contested, he was nowhere near...
he has been the longest serving member of parliament currently among those contested.
Yes, but you have...
He has served in the executive.
This particular race he is in... It's a,
this
it's a
particular
two
race,
horse,
is a, is a, is a, is a two horse race. For Dogati.
It's a two horse race between Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia and Alan Chamante. He is wasting his resources in this, you know.
Evans, I totally disagree with you. Let me tell you something. Elections are not won on social media. Dogati is in charge with the 230 delegates who will be casting their vote come November. Understand their plight. He understands the plight of the people. We are going to a crucial election.
So let me ask you, when he finally gets an invitation to sit with the Council of Elders and he floats this idea, what will be his reaction to Hackman Osu Ajiman and Co?
Yes, I like the way Osu Ajiman spoke, but when you asked him, he said it will be difficult to have a consensus leader at this point. No. If the party is going for competency, assess the term, put everybody profile, you think Dogati still stands tall? Even Dogati is a known, is a household name in MPP and in Ghana politics. If he was to be unpopular, his community, his constituency would have rejected him long time.
I see. Well, thank you very much, Majid. And Majid is special aide to former Attorney General Joe Gatte, who also says, well, he is not going to listen to the conversation about stepping down for others to contest or even having a consensus candidate. Let's bring in Dr. Asante, who is a senior lecturer at the Political Science Department at the University of Ghana. Dr. Asante, I mean, this conversation is returning. Hackman Osu Ajiman is the chairman of the party's Council of Elders. He knows what he's talking about when he says he's the idea is to impress on them to appreciate the bigger party interest. You've heard the two aspirants, at least Kodopoku directly picked the form for himself and the aide to Joe Gatte. They emphatically say no. Is that a prudent step to take on their behalf, or is Hackman Osu Ajiman on right when he says in the bigger interest of the party, they should be considering stepping aside for others? Hello, Mr. Asante. Okay, we'll try and get his attention and get his thoughts on this. But if you're joining us right now, as you know, the NPP is building up to its presidential primaries, and already the conversation has started. 10 of them are picked forms already. And the party, of course, mindful of that history in 2007, have already begun conversations led by the Council of Elders to explore the option of getting some of these aspirants to step aside or give up the ambitions, or even, as has been suggested, have a consensus candidate. Dr. Asante, are these overtures prudent? Unfortunately, we do not have him. We'll try and get him on the line with his thoughts there. Dr. Asante is joining me right now. Hopefully, he can hear me. Hello, Doc. Hello, Dr. Asante. Well, the line's unhelping to him, and it's been raining out there. I'm pretty sure it's been part of the problem. And if you have your thoughts, please share with me, 055-1111-997. This has been Top Story.
Ever visited a shop